So tonight is the last Dhamma talk. We should emphasize the daily practice in daily life. I hope that you take interest in studying meditation. If you take interest in studying meditation according to your circumstances, you should try to keep the samadhi practice, the shamatha practice going. Try at least 1 hour a day to practice a deep concentration. I always repeat and never tired of repeating, our self is our habits. If you have the habit of practicing deeper concentration, it will become natural to you. Only when it becomes natural, it will become part of you. Even if you succeed in samadhi and you can attain the samadhi, unless you practice it continually, it will not become part of you. And you will always have to struggle for it. Only when you practice every day, it will become natural and it will not leave you. It will become part of you. Now, the practice of samadhi should be complementary to the practice of wisdom. The practice of wisdom, the vipassana, is the synonym of wisdom. In Buddhism, the vipassana means wisdom. Now, the practice of wisdom most praised by Buddha is using the shamatha, using the jhanas as the base for the practice of vipassana. This is a practice called ammata dwara, the gates to deathlessness, that Buddha has mostly praised, and that the great disciples of the Buddha have practiced during his time. There is no doubt that all the great disciples of Buddha have practiced in this way. Now, as far as you are still developing samadhi, if you can participate in, like some of you have participated in, Goenka course or Mahasi meditation, whatever, it is fine. But the most important thing is also to practice in daily life. So far we have explained, if you are using the anapana as a skillful means for developing concentration and wisdom, so far we have been concerned only with the samatha part of the anapana exercises. Now I will only very briefly mention the vipassana part, and again I will only briefly mention the practice of using samatha for practicing mindfulness and awareness of the feelings. The feelings is what dominates the perceptions and what dominates the cognitions. So you should always be aware of the feelings, how they arise and how they pass away. The mindfulness of the breath is the skillful means for doing that. So we will speak a little bit today also about the part of the Anapanasati meditation concerned with the mindfulness and awareness of the feelings. Now, these four exercises that we have explained in the preceding days, the being knowing that I am breathing long breaths, in breath and out breath, clearly knowing that I am breathing the with wisdom, the short breath, knowing the whole body of the breath, which means also the whole body of the mind which observes the breath, and sublimating the breath. This process we have explained on the base of the shamatha practice. Now I will only say a few words about the vipassana practice concerned with that. According to the Visuddhimagga, and if you're interested, you can study it later. The same process of sublimation of the breath occurs also in the practice of vipassana. Just like the more developed is the one-pointedness of mind in proximate samadhi, in first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, the more subtle becomes the object of the breath. Still in the fourth jhana it becomes so subtle that it is practically not noticeable at the place where you have been observing it. The same process, according to the Visuddhimagga, occurs when you are practicing vipassana. The more, the deeper the vipassana knowledge, the more subtle becomes the object of breath. That means both the samadhi and the wisdom sublimate the objects. Not only the breath, it is true of all the objects. But in case of breath, as we have pointed out, it is most clear because the breath is a mind-created object. So, this process, how our mind determines the quality of the objects that we perceive, can best be studied on the in-breath and the out-breath, which is the mind-created object. Now, if you have samadhi, it is not so advisable to do it now, then the entrance into the vipassana is studying the breath in terms of the four elements. Make it the base for the four elements meditation. What does it mean? While experiencing the long breath or short breath, you experience, you pay attention to the like hardness, and you experience in the breath, the long breath and short breath as hardness. Then, as opposite of hardness, softness, then as smoothness, then as roughness, then as heaviness, then as lightness, then as heat, then as coolness, then as pushing, then as movement, then as holding together, then as flowing. All these characteristics of the four elements you can discover in the long or the short breath. And actually you can also determine while breathing in a long breath, I experience the hardness, or I experience the softness. If you study the four elements meditation, you determine, you the element you want to study, and you study it in the breath. Then you combine these characteristics together, the different characteristics of earth, water, fire and wind, then the breath will just appear to you as the four elements. When the breath appears to you as the four elements, it will disintegrate actually into the so-called kalapas, the atoms of perceptions of the breath. Then you can enter into the vipassana meditation with the breath as the object. I will not now elaborate, because you are not studying that and it will only bring confusion how to proceed step by step in this meditation. When you have then observed these different kalapas of the breath, you observe the different kalapas in your body, then you observe the mind. Observing the breath and determine these different kalapas of mentality, their component parts, also different kalapas of the corporeality, the breath and the body, which is a base for the experience of the breath. Then you determine the dependent origination of these component parts of your experience. Then you observe them in the process of appearance and disappearance in each and every moment of perception. Then you can go through these different stages of vipassana as described in the Visuddhimagga. I will not now elaborate, because you are not studying vipassana. And the higher the stage of vipassana, the more subtle becomes your object. The same rule as with samatha. I hope you can learn later. Now, these same exercises that we have been discussing today and yesterday can be applied then to vipassana. You also observe these component parts of vipassana on the long or short breath, in the whole body of the breath, and you sublimate the breath by getting deeper and deeper wisdom about the component parts of your experience and about their process of appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception. When your meditative experience in vipassana increases, you will not be aware anymore of appearance. You only see these component parts disappearing. Then you can prepare your path of seeing, going directly into the direct experience of the that which is beyond impermanence, the nirvana. So this is the study of the mindfulness connected with the breath in terms of mindfulness directed to the body. Because you are concerned with in the experience of touch, and everything we experience by touch. There is nothing we can experience without touching it. We have only six doors to touch six kinds of objects, and all our world is only concerned with touching these six kinds of objects. If you are concerned in this touch with the corporeal part, with the rupa, then you are studying the mindfulness directed towards the body, the kaya gata sati. You should be very clear about it. The kaya gata sati, the mindfulness directed towards the body, is what? Is a consequent applying of mindfulness towards the rupa and dissolving the ignorance in regard to the rupa. Dissolving the ignorance means seeing clearly the rupa only as a continuity of the component parts. These component parts, they have all different functions. They are only groups of component parts which are always in the process of change. And in that object you will not find a single sign of the anything lasting. This lasting impression is conditioned by our previous experience. It does not exist in the present experience. Your present experience is the experience connected with deep concentration. Now, according to the Visuddhimagga, also according to the Yogacara Bhumi Shastra, the same logic, the study of the feelings or of the sensations of Vedana, based on the long or short in-breath and the out-breath, is to be based on Samadhi. If there is no samadhi, that study, according to the logic of Visuddhimagga, it cannot be really completed. Cannot be completed means it cannot lead to the realization. But yet, we have mentioned in the morning, even so you don't have samadhi, you can still study the feelings. And by deduction, not by direct experience, understand the impermanence of feeling, the unsatisfactory nature of feelings, and the selfless nature of the feelings. It is possible, but it will not be enough for realization. Unless you are using samadhi. We have said that there are four gates to the city of Nirvana. One is the mindfulness based on the body, another mindfulness based on the feeling, another mindfulness based on the cognition, another mindfulness based on the mental objects connected to realization, to wisdom. By these four gates one can enter the ancient city of Nirvana, provided one knows the whole. If one does not know the whole, one cannot get realization. Now, to the whole, belongs feeling. If you don't understand the feeling, you don't understand the whole. Now, the feeling arises how? The sensations arise how? You should be aware of it, not only in samadhi, but in everyday life. Only then you will get deep into the meditation. If you're not aware of it, you will not go deep into the meditation. Deep into the meditation means you will see very clearly the defilements arising, the reason for the arising of defilements, and the defilements passing away. If you continue this observation, you will detach from defilements. And then defilements will not last. What do you not understand?
One is a farmer.
What are you talking about? Mintian, defilement means fun now. Mintian is a 发问，现在如果我们开始，明天发问。我是在哪里？现在我因为没。No. Now about the feeling, the reason for the feeling. What is the reason for the feeling? How the feeling arises? The feeling arises, you should be aware not only by theory but in daily life, always aware of it. The feeling arises, six kinds of feelings arise, but six kinds of touch.
Contact.
Six kinds of touch is maybe better than contact. Six kinds of touch. Faso. The in Abhidhamma, the enumeration of the mental factors starts with touch. First there is touch, then everything appears. There is no touch, nothing appears. So the rule of the Abhidhamma is that whatever we can know, whatever we can only realize and know by touching. There is no other way to realization or to knowing. Because we touch without wisdom, we are subjected to all kinds of defilements. So, learning the shamatha and vipassana is also learning to touch with wisdom. There is a all that we can experience in the world are the six inner bases and the six outer bases. Now there is a in the Samyutta Nikaya there is a sutta called Samudha Sutta, which says that the I, the bhikkhus is the great ocean, and the waves in the I are the colors that we see. One who can tolerate these colors that we see, he is the one who can cross this great ocean of suffering. Similarly, the sounds, the smells, tastes, touch, and the mental objects. The mind is a great ocean. The mental objects are the waves in this great ocean. One who can tolerate these waves in the shape of the mental objects, he can cross over this great ocean of suffering. What does it mean? There is an object, there is an inner base, outer base. Then when the two meet, there is a touch. When there is a touch, appears feeling. Now, the feeling is what dominates perception. And the perception is what dominates the cognition. We are differentiating in accordance with the sensation, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And this sensation depends on touch. What we touch, that we receive, that is feeling, that we perceive, that is perception, that we cognize, that is mind. And that is our ocean. That is all we experience. All these different fishes and turtles and all kinds of creatures and the gems and jewels all appear in this ocean. The six oceans, the six doors of perception. These six doors of perception receive six kinds of objects. This reception of this object is called sensation. In Chinese, shou. Shou means to receive. What we receive, that is what we know. What we don't receive, that we can't know. Please keep this in the mind. Now, when you are working on the breath and you get the concentration to a certain extent, then the first exercise concerned with the mindfulness of feeling is piti patisamvedi asasisamiti sikhati, piti patisamvedi pasasisamiti sikhati. Why I learn while experiencing joy to breathe in or breathe out the long or short breath. Now, when your concentration becomes better while breathing in and breathing out, you will experience joy. And that joy will be lasting if your concentration is lasting. If your concentration gets lost, that joy will be lost. What does it mean? That this perception of joy, or experience of joy, is dependent on the subtle touch of the breath. The subtle touch of the breath is possible by concentration. If you don't have concentration, the touch of the breath will not be subtle. then you will feel frustrations with that object. So the actual exercise of learning to experience joy while breathing in and breathing out happens in the state of first and second jhana, which is connected with joy. In this first and second jhana connected with the joy, you can study this joy in terms of the āgamanato asamohato, in terms of the object. The object of the first jhana or second jhana on the breath is the subtle image, reflected image of the breath. As long as you are touching that image with your mind, that image, mental image of the breath, you can only touch by mind. You will be experiencing joy. And joy, if you are master of concentration, you can experience for a day or for two or for three. No problem. Now, if you go out of samadhi, out of samadhi actually does not mean to be the object is still samadhi. This is a secret of studying vipassana in samadhi. You go out of samadhi, but your object is still the samadhi object. This subtle reflected image of the breath. Now, if you go out of samadhi, you can study the preceding mind. This preceding mind is perceiving the subtle image of the breath. And that mind, you will find, is appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception. So you will find when you concentrate in the touch on feeling, on the joy, then you will find that this joy is actually impermanent, because it appears and disappears in each and every moment of perception. Being impermanent, you will, when you study it appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception, whatever you study, no matter whether it is joy or anything, whatever you study as appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception, you will experience as unsatisfactory. And whatever you experience as unsatisfactory, you will never be able to identify with the self, because the self is the synonym of something lasting. So you will be able to detach from the joy. Now, exactly the same thing you can study in the daily life, only not with such an intensity. The difference is in intensity. The intensity in the jhana, if you are make it your main practice, can lead then to direct realization. This intensity you cannot attain in daily practice. It is impossible. But still you can see very clearly that when you experience the joy, it is because you are turning to the object which is associated with a subtle touch, or which is associated with your desire for the subtle touch. Which is, as long as that object is there, you will experience the joy. When this object goes away, if you are attached to that joy, you will experience frustration. Therefore, In Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha divides feelings into the feeling of letting go and the feeling of holding. The feeling of holding is called the gehasita. Gehasita means a feeling based on the householder's holding, not letting go. And then the nekama feeling is the feeling based on letting go. So if you are experiencing joy, whatever the object may be, remember it can only appear when you are touching something pleasant by the six doors. If you are shaken by the touching, if you are holding to it, then the result will be suffering. If you are not holding, you can learn slowly, slowly to tolerate whatever sensation comes along. To tolerate the waves appearing in the six doors. When you can tolerate them, it does not mean you are not experiencing the joy. One who has clear faculties experiences can experience joy even more intensively, but he will not be attached to it. The Arahat or the Buddha, when they eat tasty food, they experience it much more intensively than the common people who have dull faculties, but they are not attached. Why they are not attached? Because they understand the impermanence of all feelings. The more clear you understand the impermanence of all feelings, the more clear the faculties become. This you can practice in daily life even without having samadhi. It is a most recommendable practice. It is the entrance into the mindfulness and awareness in daily life, which is the condition for peaceful life. The next exercise is I learn to breathe in and breathe out while experiencing happiness. The happiness, strictly speaking, the continuity of happiness is experienced in the first, second, and especially in the third jhana, which is free from joy. If you have samadhi, you can experience this kind of happiness for a long, long time. But when you go out of samadhi, then you will experience that this very happiness is appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception. Appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception, it is actually nothing but state of dissatisfaction. And that which is a state of dissatisfaction cannot be the self, cannot belong to the self. Because the self is something lasting. And this kind of happiness is actually appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception. because we don't see it clearly, we are holding to it. The more we hold to it, the more we suffer. So, what does it mean when you experience happiness in daily life? You should be aware that this happiness can only appear when there is an object connected with happiness. And when there is object connected with happiness, you touch that object, you receive it. That happiness is bound to that object. It will last only as long as you receive that object, be it mental object or visual object, whatever. When the object goes away, the happiness will go away. If you hold to it, it will, this going away of the happiness will be connected with suffering. So there are two kinds of happiness. The happiness to, according to Buddhism, there are two kinds of happiness. The happiness to be practiced and the happiness to be avoided. What is the happiness to be practiced? The inner happiness, free from attachment. And what is the happiness to be avoided? The happiness connected with clinging. If you can avoid happiness connected with clinging, you will be more and more happy. You want to be more and more happy? Please, please try hard to avoid happiness connected with clinging. This is a secret of happy life. Is it so? So, here again, if you work with breath, remember when you're experiencing happiness with the breath, it is connected with the subtle touch of the breath. When this subtle touch of the breath disappears, gone is happiness, bye-bye. If you cling to it, trouble. You are opening the door for Mr. Trouble. Mr. Trouble. What will Mr. Trouble do? Like the mixer, banana with milk, make your mind a milkshake. When your mind becomes a milkshake, it becomes agitated. When the mind is agitated, it means it has not distinguished between the happiness that is to be practiced and the happiness to be avoided. The happiness to be avoided is the happiness connected with clinging. The technical term in Pali is very, very interesting. Sa-amisa and nir-amisa. Sa-amisa in Pali means raw flesh. The happiness to be avoided is the happiness connected with the raw flesh. And the happiness to be practiced is the happiness not connected with raw flesh. What means the happiness not connected with raw flesh? It is the happiness of samatha and vipassana. if you have experienced a lot of this happiness, you will not be holding too much to the happiness based on raw flesh. That happiness which is not based on raw flesh, according to Buddhism, is the happiness leading to nirvana. So if you want liberation, you should try to practice not only while in deep meditation, in daily life you should try to practice the happiness not connected with the raw flesh. That means happiness with detachment. The happiness with detachment is not possible without the practice of mindfulness and awareness. Where is my object? Where is my mind? Where is my touch? Where is my feeling at the touch? If you can practice like that in everyday life, the defilements cannot last. Only when you don't practice in like this in daily life, the defilements will last. The defilements will last because of the previous bad habits. No other reason. So it is a time to meditate on feeling, to change habits. If you don't start now, you will never start. So make sure you understand this very clearly. The next exercise is connected with mindfulness of feeling, with the object of in-breath and out-breath, is citta sankhara patisamvedi asasisamiti sikhati, citta sankhara patisamvedi pasasisamiti sikhati. I experience the mind formation while breathing in and breathing out. The mind formation is what? According to Buddhism, the mind formation means sensations and perceptions. These are the mind formations. Why they are called mind formations? Because the mind, the cognitions of the mind are based on the sensations and perceptions. Therefore, even so they are also just formations of samkaras, they are explained as independent aggregates of existence. Khandas or skandas. You know what is skanda? Skanda? Yin. So even so, the feelings or sensations and perceptions, they are just the sankharas. They are explained as independent aggregates because of their importance. So I experience the feeling and perceptions. Now we are concerned with feelings, but it is to be remembered that what we feel, that we perceive. What we perceive, that is what we feel. And what we feel and perceive, that is what we will and what we will arrange the other mental factors in accordance. And what we will also cognize in accordance with what we have sensed and what we have perceived. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, our mind is just made this way. This is the dharmata. This is the way the things are. The Buddha, whether he comes or not to explain, it is just like that. No one can change it. We are made this way. So now I breathe in and breathe out the long breath while experiencing the mental formations. What does it mean? It means nothing else than when the breath changes, the different mental formations will change, the sensation will change, and the perception will change. If you have concentration, you will experience different feeling. If you don't have concentration, you will experience different feeling on the breath. If you are in proximate samadhi, you will experience a different quality of feeling. If you are in first samadhi, first jhana, different quality of feeling. If you are in second jhana, different quality of feeling. If you are in third jhana, again different quality of feeling. If you are in fourth jhana, again different quality of feeling. So the quality of feeling is dependent on the object and on the mental formations which are connected with that object. The feeling is that which receives the whole of the object. The other mental factors receive only part of the object. That's why the feeling is the king of the experience. In Visuddhimagga it is said that the feelings are like the king, the other mental factors are like the cooks preparing the meal for the king. The king then relishes it. And he says, it is pleasant, it is unpleasant, it is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And in accordance with this, the mind will function. So, what does it mean in daily life? Whatever feeling you are experience depends on the how you receive the object. If you are bound to your feeling, either pleasure or displeasure, or neither pleasure nor displeasure, then you will be deluded about your feeling. If you are not bound to the feeling, you will not be deluded by the feeling. The essence of delusion is clinging. If you don't cling, the feeling freedom. If because of clinging, no feeling, no freedom. Because feeling no freedom, the mind no freedom. The bondage of the mind is dependent on the bondage of the feeling. So this is to what is to be studied in the daily life. This is what is to be seen clearly. And the last exercise is pasambayam citta sankaram asasi samiti sikhati, pasambayam citta sankaram pasasi samiti sikhati. I am learning to breathe in and breathe out, long or short in breath and out breath, while sublimating the feeling. How do I sublimate the feelings? On one hand, you can sublimate the feeling by entering the different stages of samadhi. This is one way of sublimating the feeling. Another way of sublimating the feeling, and the most important way, is by wisdom. It is a wisdom which sublimates the feelings, and it is the ignorance which binds the feelings. It is very important to see this very clearly, not only in samadhi but also in daily life. So, on one hand, you can study when you get samadhi, how these different higher stages of samadhi make the feeling more subtle. But all these feelings also, when you observe, when you go out of samadhi and observe the mind experiencing these feelings, you will see they are also appearing and disappearing in each and every moment of perception. This experience also will sublimate the feelings. So the shamatha sublimate the feeling, the vipassana also sublimate the feelings. And this can be practiced also in daily life. When we are not attached to feelings, the feelings become sublime. When we are attached to feeling, the feeling will hinder the mind and will cause all kinds of frustrations, depressions, fears, worries. So the mastery of the mind is nothing, is inseparable from the mastery of the feelings. The greater mastery of the feelings one has, the greater mastery of the mind. So the mastery of the feelings is called in Buddhism the noble supernatural powers. These are the supernatural powers the Buddha has most praised. Other supernatural powers are not bad, but this supernatural powers is a supreme supernatural power. What does it mean? When you are experiencing a pleasant object, you don't get attached. When you are experiencing the unpleasant object, you don't reject it. When you are experiencing neither pleasant nor unpleasant object, you don't get deluded. When you are experiencing a pleasant object, you can decide you want to experience a pleasant object what the, some consider pleasant object, you can experience it as unpleasant object. For example, you contemplate the asubha, the impurities, the pleasant object becomes unpleasant object. Neither pleasant object nor unpleasant object should bind you. When you get detached, the same pleasant object becomes neither pleasant nor unpleasant object. Depends on how you touch it. How you touch it will decide how you experience it. So, how we actually experience the object, when you study more and more, you will see, is in a way determined by our habits of previous experiences. These habits of previous experiences actually prevent us from experiencing the object objectively. So, delusion about the feelings is the dominating delusion. From purely objective sight, the balance of the four elements is decides what is experienced as pleasant object and unpleasant object. This is what gives kind of objectivity to the experience. But yet, because of the different habits of our mind and so on, we do not experience it in this way. We often experience that which should be a pleasant object as unpleasant object. We experience unpleasant object which should be an unpleasant object as pleasant object. Why? Because of our past habits. So that is the contemplation of the feelings which should be done on the in the daily life. The mindfulness and awareness of feelings is based when you, whatever you touch, when at the touch you are concerned with the feelings, you are practicing the mindfulness of feelings. You are established in the feelings. When you at the touch you study the nature of the object, you are established in the mindfulness of the body. When at the touch you study the cognitions, you are established in the mindfulness of the mind. The mind also can only appear with an object. Where there is no object, no mind. And it can only appear when there is touch. So if at the touch we are aware of the feelings, we are studying the mindfulness of the feelings, if we are by established in the feelings, If you are not established in the feelings, you cannot talk of mindfulness. When you are studying the mindfulness of establishment of mindfulness in the mind, you are established in the mind, and you investigate this mind appears, the mind with greed appears with a pleasant object, it remains as long as a pleasant object is there. It will disappear when the pleasant object will disappear. The mind without without greed can appear with a pleasant object, but it is connected with a feeling, with a non-clinging to the feeling. The mind with hate appears with an unpleasant object. The mind without hate can also appear with an unpleasant object, but it will be free from clinging. Clinging to what? Clinging to the sensation of the unpleasant object. So first established in sensations, then established in the cognitions of the mind, which are determined by sensations. If there is neither pleasant nor unpleasant object, the neutral feeling will appear. If it is with delusion, it is connected with a scattered mind, with thinking mind. If it is without delusion, it is not connected with scattered mind, not connected with thinking mind. And so on. This is a study of the mind. I will not go into the detail. Now we have no time to explain these four exercises on the breath, but you can again study the same on the breath. These four exercises, they are in fact very simple. While experiencing the in-breath and out-breath, I experience the mind. I gladden the mind while experiencing the in-breath and out-breath. This is different stages of samadhi, but also any experience of the pleasant objects in daily life, same, it gladdens the mind. But it is, if it is connected with detachment, it will be wholesome. If it is connected with attachment, it will be unwholesome. Then samadaham chitam, I concentrate my mind, experiencing, I learn to concentrate the mind while experiencing in-breath and out-breath. What does it mean? Again, the concentration is that which is the cause of knowledge, cause of peace. The higher the concentration, the more easy access to knowledge and to peace. And that you study also on the breath. Then I liberate the mind by breathing in and breathing out. How do I liberate the mind by breathing in and breathing out? by samatha and vipassana again. If you experience the first jhana, you liberate the mind from the or approximate jhana, you liberate the mind from the five hindrances, the second jhana from applied sustained thought, the third jhana from the joy, the fourth jhana from the happiness, and so on. And if you experience the vipassana, you also step by step liberate the mind from all kinds of delusions. I won't talk anymore. Then the whole the experience of mindfulness of the feelings and of the mind is also has the samatha side and vipassana side. Experience of the dharmas, mental object, is pure vipassana. That implies experiencing the while breathing in and breathing out, I experience impermanence. Impermanence of what? Impermanence of the five aggregates of existence. That the breath is the rupa, the that which observes the breath, that is the four mental aggregates. They are, while experiencing breath, they are nothing but impermanence. When you experience this impermanence, you can get detached, and then you can make it disappear. It disappears in each and every moment of perception, but it also ultimately disappears in nirvana. And you let go. You let go by experiencing this detachment and disappearance. Letting go is of two kinds. One is on the letting go the impermanence, experience of impermanence of the worldly objects, and turning towards that which is not impermanent. But that will take some time, slowly, slowly. And for enough for today. Tomorrow, if there are any questions, we will discuss.